We have approval of the minutes October 1st, October 8th. October 8th is the roundtable we had down in Corning.
Motion.
I'll move it.
Second. Okay.
Second. But I do want to say that I thought the minutes for the 8th were very well done, and I appreciate the details that went into it.
They certainly were.
Yep.
We don't approve until next
Exceptional.
Week.
Exceptional.
Do we have a second? Did you have a second, Hilda?
I was second, or was I?
We're good?
Yeah, we're good.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Carries. Building and grounds.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I've got a couple of things this morning.
What's
this? Both of them are for the new Hammondsport ambulance barn that we've taken over and running out of now. The first one is I'd like to recommend awarding to the lowest bidder, Moran's Glass, Inc., in the amount of $8,958. In replacing these windows, it'll add square footage that we need for the egress to for a center mullion to be able to separate rooms for their living quarters.
Make a motion.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Carries.
Second thing I got is authorization to spend out of the wind replace capital project. Requesting to spend $8,958 out of the wind replace capital project for replacing these three casement windows.
I'll move it.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Carries.
That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Jack? Chris?
Nothing. Did you want to discuss?
Oh, yes, please. I just spoke with Jack regarding the high-speed internet expansion to report that I still don't have internet, but they're working on it. But I did see Empire on my road today, so yay. I'm getting more and more hopeful every day. But one of my neighbors, and I say neighbor loosely because he's within a couple of miles from me, his road is not part of our high-speed expansion, but he is very close to where they are cutting off where they're ending the expansion of the service. And so I just wanted Jack to comment on the status of the project and if there's some room to work with Empire regarding adding some of those roads and places where there still won't be service.
Yeah, sure. Happy to, and good timing, and I'll send it to you later, but we have our status call. Chris and I have our status call with Empire this afternoon. They are currently 68% complete in build of fiber. And on the flip side, to Kelly's point, home serviceable right now is only 32%. So in Kelly's area, it's 99% built. So the fiber is on the poles. What they have to do is then work with NYSEG to install what they call a point of presence. That's the technology box essentially that communicates back to actually light the fiber, but that requires electric, and so they in a lot of cases are waiting on NYSEG to be able to turn that up, but we expect that to happen, you know, within I'll get a better estimate here soon later, but it's normally a few week to a month process after they build to the point where they can actually light the fiber and make it serviceable. But it's all dependent upon NYSEG's availability to come in and provide the electric needed for that point of presence. So coming along still, estimate complete by the end of the year. They are, they have met the contractual obligations for the 2,100 homes passed. So we don't have any contractual I guess hold their feet to the fire to say connect this road or that road. But what I will say is they've been very willing and open to communicate about, especially if it's not a long distance. They certainly are very good. It's not like Spectrum. You can have a conversation with them about, can you do this? And if not, why? So we can definitely, you know, feel free to shoot me the address and we will ask, and same goes for everyone. We can ask. Sometimes the answer has been no. We've received a few of these. If it's a couple miles off of the main build at now $60,000 a mile,
yeah,
you know, they probably won't do it. But if it's relatively close, they've been willing to fold it into the project.
Well, I would say, do we have any other grant funds that we need to spend on high speed expansion or any grant funds that we've applied for?
Applied for, and it's maddening. The one we are still waiting a year later from New York State on, the one that they haven't awarded, that we partnered with Empire for an additional 780 or so homes. And we keep pinging the state and saying, hey, last we heard, you really liked this. Where's it at? And it's basically radio silence for them. But we are keeping our eye out on any other grant opportunities, working with Southern Tier Central, Southern Tier Network. Certainly, if we can find funds, we definitely will. And Empire has been very willing to partner with us on this, which is good, because a lot of these grants, you need a telecom provider to partner with. And Empire has been very, very willing to partner with us. So definitely we'll be applying for any opportunity we can.
Super. So if there are any roads in your districts that are close to service but don't have it, please get those addresses to Jack, and I will do the same for the constituents that have asked me. So thank you very much for accommodating the agenda.
Question.
Joe.
Jack, you just said the 68% is complete for this project, and you estimate the completion by the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say they do complete it by the end of the year. Basically, that's going to be it as far as setting up broadband across the county as much as we can. Or will there be more work to do after the end of the year to get broadband to as many parts of the county as we can? I would imagine that there's some places we just can't get to.
So, it kind of piggybacks on Kelly's question. I would say, my opinion, we're not done trying to find it. Once this project is complete, then this project under the ARPA funding has been satisfied and done in 2,100 additional households from when it started will be connected or have avail, whether they choose to take the services up to them, but they will have service available to them. That leaves 2,000-ish residents from the latest data that we saw, and Shannon asked a question for one of her residents as well. We are, you know, obviously we will try to find grant funding for some of these. Some of these very, very rural builds are tough because of the cost of, you know, fiber per mile. There's just some places that a telecom company, unless we pay for the whole thing or the grant pays for the whole thing, is just not going to go to. We have recommended Starlink to folks to take a look at that. Not that we don't have a partnership with Starlink or anything, but in talking with people who have utilized the service, it is better than the old HughesNet dial-up.
Oh my kind God, of. It's unbelievable. Yeah, it's not even relative.
Terrible.
Yeah. I just put Starlink. I have Spectrum and I hate them. So I just put Starlink in 3 days ago. Right now, their equipment is free. There's no upfront cost as long as you sign up for a 12-month subscription. Right now, their subscriptions are reduced. So for residential light, it's $59 a month. After 12 months, it goes to $80. For the standard residential, it's $80 a month. For the first 12 months, it goes to $120.
What's the name of this again?
Starlink. It's a satellite.
Oh, I didn't know. Okay.
Yep.
I mean, the only reason we did what we did, Joe, is because we got COVID money.
You got what?
We talked about broadband ever since Kelly's been on this board.
Yeah.
But we just happened to have $18 million in ARPA money from COVID, and we put it toward half it. Of it or whatever towards broadband. We would not have been able to do any of it without federal money.
Yeah. I just think, yeah, I mean, I think we know how important it is to get that out as much as possible to as many homes as we can. I mean, it really has such a impact on so many things, whether it's transportation, whether it's mental health, whether it's communication or whatever. I mean, it just, so.
That's- oh yeah. And we definitely support, I think, you know, I sit on the Southern Tier Network board, have since they started, you know, and I'm very pleased with our partnership with Empire, because they're taking almost an agnostic approach to that. If they can't fill the gap, they will find a way to partner with us if we need information.
Yeah.
And at least I've taken the view with STN, if STN can apply for a grant, we can help them with that, then great. It's someone providing the service.
Yeah.
So, but well, definitely going to keep looking.
Also, Armstrong stepped up a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
In Fred and Bob's area. I mean, they made some huge expansions and investments there. They had nothing to do with COVID or anything.
No,
else.
They got a lot of the federal grant money from that. But Armstrong, I mean, it's the complete opposite of what you would think if you just came in. You would think that the most rural part of our county would have the highest need, but actually Armstrong covers that area extraordinarily well.
Who's Armstrong?
It's another service provider like service, Empire. Okay. Yeah, but it's down in Fred's area,
okay,
southern part of the county.
Telephone company. You have an office right there in Addison.
All right.
Yeah, just like Empire started as a telephone company back a long time ago.
Okay, thanks.
No, last question.
I have a real basic question. Is she going to get broadband when this 20... when this is done by the end of
yes.
the year,
if she wants to sign up for the service,
Ellie, watch then what am I going to talk about?
She'll get Starlink and never sign up.
It's for years, and you feel bad because it should have happened a long time ago. I mean, in this day and age, right? But I hope you're getting it. Well, it'll be a Christmas present for you.
That's what it sounds like. It's going to be a Christmas present. I've lived on my road 13 years. When we first moved there, we reached out to Spectrum and asked them to build out their road, which they refused to do. And once we awarded the contract to Empire, and in this whole process with Empire doing a build out, Spectrum has come down my road. So, I mean, I fib a little bit when I say I don't have high-speed internet, but I'm holding out for Empire because that's the company that we contracted with here through the county, and I was going to sign up with them. But I'm trying to be patient.
Now it's going to be Starlink with Scott's new job as promoter.
I don't get anything out of this.
So that's it.
Yep.
Okay. Outside agencies. SCIDA. Jamie.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Thanks for coming.
Try to keep my comments brief because I know things are running late and I want to leave plenty of time for discussion with Redeck and Lindsay Wolf. Just a few project updates and then happy to answer any questions. You know, one of the things that we continue to be frustrated with and work through are the ongoing changes and uncertainty that policy and government shutdowns are creating at the federal level. Just so this group knows, one of the major impacts that we've just recently seen was we got notification from Canisteo Wind that they are going to pause their $1.2 billion investment in Steuben County at the Canisteo Wind project and then reassess the situation in 2028. That was going to be the largest commercial wind project that we had in Penn County, and the fiscal impact of that to the taxing entities, including the county, would have been nearly $1 million a year in new revenue that we would have generated off of that, in addition to the lease payments and everything else that would have been created. I mean, we were ready to close. They were ready to move forward. They were actually talking about starting with tree clearing this year. And they can't get federal DOD permits and federal wetland permits and the tariff impacts. They just said, we're going to put everything on the shelf and reassess at a later date. So we have no idea, you know, what the future of that investment is, but I know that's something we've been working on for over 10 years with the municipalities, and it just kind of evaporated overnight. You know, another, you know, impact we're seeing, the Alston Freight Engine project that we received $16 million from the federal government through the Crissy grant for. This is the project that would have started creating prototype freight engines, which we're basically classifying them as Priuses. They would be clean diesel and then battery hybrid engines. That was going to start in Kenona, and they were hoping to grow that business at their Kenona facility. We've requested Buy America waivers, three different Buy America waivers through that process, and those are just on hold right now because of the government shutdown. So I don't want to say that the future of that project is in jeopardy, but it definitely is being delayed and will continue to be delayed until those Buy America waivers can you know, work their way through the process once the government reopens. You know, along those lines, interestingly enough, we just came back from the North American Battery Show in Detroit. This is something that we have traditionally I don't want to say shied away from, but the cost and expense to go and go to a trade show and represent the county individually for the return just never really made a lot of sense. But with the work that we've been doing in the region around the clean tech, the Newmark study, which we've talked to this group about before, we actually partnered with the state of New York and in Chemung County to go and be part of the New York State, what they call the pavilion, you know, on the trade show floor. New York State had one of the largest representations on the floor with over 1,300 vendors there, and we were able to be part of that by partnering, which helped us reduce the cost. We were the only region, if you will, that was represented with Chemung County at the New York State Pavilion. So we sort of had carte blanche to all of the businesses that were looking at investing in growing their battery technologies, which was really interesting because it wasn't just battery companies. It was, you know, machine shops. It was, you know, testing companies, automation services. It was basically any component that would go into the manufacturing of a battery was there representing their technology. The general consensus of that, those vendors that were there and all of those that participated was that, you know, they're eager to advance their technologies and advance investments, but right now they were all sort of, you know, holding their breath to see, you know, how things were going to evolve around battery technology in the United States, you know, to the point where we spent a lot of time won't even get into it, but we ended up at a reception with the South Koreans by mistake, and the South Korean delegation was they were almost laughing at us because we were so far behind in our advancements of the battery technology. And when I say battery technology, this isn't about large scale energy storage. I mean, you know, we walked around the show and there were Corvettes that had been turned into electric Corvettes. And there were vendors that were showing the latest battery technology in your cordless drills. You know, so you think about how battery technology has evolved and everything in your household that has a battery in it. This was on display at this trade show. So the good news is, you know, as I said, well, we were there, we got to spend a great deal of time and sort of had carte blanche to all of the individuals that came to the show. And we've been able to get contacts for over 230 different companies that are looking at apps, you know, investing at some point in the future. And we're doing some direct follow-up in partnership with Chemung County to reach out to those, you know, individual companies to say, hey, you know, when you're ready, you know, please come and look at us, because, you know, this is an industry sector that we really are looking to advance in the region, especially with the connections to Binghamton University and the research efforts that are ongoing around lithium ion batteries and the technology at Binghamton University. In addition, the other kind of side benefit that we talked a lot with our board of directors about with this trade show was just the connections we made with the state. You know, they were very eager and pleased to have us there and showcase a region, not just the entire state. And we spent a lot of time with Empire State Development in particular. The one gentleman that is focused on battery technology also is administering the new Power Up program, which was something that was in Governor Hochul's budget this past year to, I think it was $150 million. I'm looking at Jill, $150 million. I think it's $50 million a year for the next 3 years to invest into expansion of electric capacity at sites to help make them more shovel ready across the state. They haven't even started accepting applications yet. Some of the guidelines have just been released, but we've been talking with them and have had follow-up conversations with them in NYSEG about increasing capacity at the Whalen Business Park. When we developed that park, we were in the 2 megawatt range as far as power, and that was a lot of power 10 years ago. Now, if you can't get to 3 to 6 immediately and then grow beyond that, you aren't even in the game. And with the recent announcement of investments in the Meyer substation, we now have the potential of getting to 6 megawatts within the next year, and then up to 21 megawatts in the future with some advancements and some investments that need to be made into the Meyer substation. They have to put a cap box in, which I have no idea what a cap box is at a substation, but they said if they put a cap box into that investment, we can then grow that demand to 21 megawatts, which is a huge advantage for the Wayland project. So we're in conversations about accessing power up money to be able to do that. And NYSEG is doing some cost projections on that. Talking about some specific projects, drive by the Dana Lyons School, you see the work continuing there. I know there's drywall going up. We've gotten some photos recently of some nearly complete apartments in there. They just did some paving and some cement work, and you know they hope to start leasing those apartments early next year, early to, you know, I'd say spring time frame, late winter, spring time frame. The other piece of that we're very excited about is the development of a full service YMCA at the facility. We've been able to work with Providence, the Y, and the Save the Lions group to have some space dedicated to a YMCA on a permanent basis in the Village Bath. In addition, in the coming weeks, we'll see work starting to commence on the Curtis School in Hammondsport. That's another project we've been waiting a long time to get under development. And with the New York Forward announcement earlier this year, along with Restore New York announcement, the work will begin on that. Initially this year, you'll see a new roof go on and some abatement work on the inside. And then in March, that will be a full conversion to 24 units in the village of Hammondsport. These will be market rate, higher end units. Absolutely, you know, gorgeous based on the you know what we've seen so far. Along the same lines, we've been doing a lot of work in housing. Spent 2 hours at a public hearing in the town of Irwin on Monday night to hear concerns about the Park Grove Realty development. This is 90 townhouse homes for rent right below Irene. This was the project that we worked with the county, and thank you for your support on this, to receive $1 million in infrastructure funds to help support that. The public hearing was closed for the site plan approval. Everything seems to be in order. We have to work through the final process for subdivision, and hopefully in December, everything will be approved by the town of Irwin, and we can move that project forward as well. On the other end of the county, we have successfully submitted two grant applications with the City of Hornell, Town of Hornellsville, and Village of North Hornell regarding sewer upgrades to service those areas north of the city, and in particular to serve HB Hood. You've heard me talk about the need for that before. We have gotten the applications in. We're waiting for announcements, but we're also now working with Southern Tier Central and the team in the Hornell area regarding some additional federal funding. Once the federal government reopens, we think we have the potential of tapping into Appalachian Regional Commission money, EDA money, and possibly USDA money to help support that. So it's a good time. We just want the federal government to reopen, as many of you do. And then just finally, and then I'll, you know, introduce Lindsay, to the group. We've actually seen, you know, somewhat of an uptick in lead generation. Mostly our leads come from the state of New York, so especially the larger leads. So when you talk about like an LP Building Solutions, you know, normally a project like that gets funneled from the state. They send out a lead and they say, hey, we've got a project that is looking for a site that needs X, Y, and Z. And then we respond and work with the state to try to leverage, that investment here locally. And we have seen an uptick in leads and interest in Steuben County, but what we are not seeing is those businesses pull the trigger yet. So we've seen leads in Irwin, we've seen leads in, you know, looking at Painted Post, we've seen leads looking at Wayland, Urbana and many others. So we've been busy responding to those requests. Sometimes they just go into a complete void, and you know, we follow up with the state, and you know, the state, you know, will say there's a lot of tire kicking going on. But you know, we have had some follow-up on some of these leads. So we're hopeful that, you know, as we move into 2026, you know, we'll see additional interest, and we'll be positioned to be able to take advantage of their interest and their desire, these leads' desire to continue to invest by some of this infrastructure work that we've been doing. So happy to answer any questions.
Carol.
The town of Irwin public hearing positive response?
There's always people that don't want to see things in their backyard. You know, there were about 30 people there. A lot of concerns around traffic, which I can completely understand. Park Grove has done a full complete traffic analysis to show how those intersections will perform. And, you know, all of the intersections that will be impacted will perform at either what the state DOT classifies as either an A or B rating, which is, you know, meaning that there doesn't need to be any additional improvements. Park Grove is going to make some improvements, left turn lanes, you know, crosswalks, things like that. They don't necessarily need to, but they feel from a public safety standpoint. But, you know, I think there's just a, you know, a general concern of, you know, there's individuals that have lived at Irene for a long time and they look out their back porches and they see fields and horses running and deer running and lots of wildlife. And this is going to have an impact on that. And I think there's a fear that, you know, that is, you know, going to be the case. Nothing that I would say will likely, you know, create cause to prevent that investment. And I think there were just a lot of questions, you know, that were addressed that night about, you know, what this project really will and won't be. So I think overall, you know, it was a lot of positive discussion, but there are, you know, some residents that just are concerned with, you know, something like that being constructed.
Interesting. The folks from Irene that are concerned weren't around 25 years ago when everyone was concerned about putting Irene in.
Yes. And when everyone, you know, looked at the plans for Irene, which included multiple expansions of the Irene development, one of which was going to be on the property that is being redeveloped right now. So, you know, it's what is expected, you know, when you have a project like this size and scope that is being in, you know, impacting communities and residents.
Any further questions?
Do you want me to introduce Lindsay?
Yes, please.
Okay. I want to, you know, first off, if you recall, you know, during COVID, this group, including the IDA, you know, we looked at ways to be able to impact and positively impact the businesses that were struggling at that time. So there was money dedicated from each organization to go into an emergency loan fund to impact COVID. We did that pre the federal government responding. So once we had our program in place, all of a sudden there were COVID, you know, programs that could assist these businesses. So the program really never took off. But the money it was maintained by REDEC, which Lindsay Wolf is the new executive director. REDEC is our local economic development lending program that provides a number of resources throughout the three county area that it represents, which is Chemung, Schuyler, and Steuben. I sit on the board, past chairman of the board. I'm currently chair of the loan committee. And the money just sort of sat there and we had some positive impacts. And then we kind of refocused it, you know, REDEC refocused it to try to impact flood impacted businesses. And we had a couple of successes there. And then about a year ago, you know, we sat down and we really thought through, okay, where are the real needs? And it was around downtown development. So we restructured the program once again to be able to provide partial loans and partial grants for projects in downtowns. And the way it worked is that it wasn't, Lindsay, I apologize if I'm stealing any of your thunder, was we would look at $30,000 loans, which at time of completion, half of those loans would be converted into a grant. And then the remaining amount would be converted into, you know, termed out and paid back over a period of 5 years at a reduced interest rate. We hit a, you know, a need, and we've seen a lot of businesses coming through the program, had a lot of successes this year. There is a backlog that Lindsay and her team are working through. And so Lindsay approached and REDEC approached us about, you know, how do we manage this and how do we continue to benefit and respond to the success. So she approached the Steuben County IDA to help reseed this program and provide additional resources. The IDA met 2 weeks ago and elected to contribute another $200,000, you know, into the program, pending we can get similar support from the county. So Lindsay is here today to talk about the program, talk about that request. So Lindsay.
Hi.
Good morning. Thank you for coming.
you. So this started about a year ago, and so we're just now coming into fruition of seeing our folks come to this forgivable portion of the $15,000. At this point, I think you probably have received the write-up. We have done $205,000. We just had the Curtis project was approved at our last board meeting before this was done. And in terms of the results of the project, it's been really tremendous. We've done 34,000 square feet have been either in the process of being renovated or renovated within the downtown areas. $3.19 million in private capital that's been leveraged, 61 estimated jobs retained or created. And this has been across the geographic region throughout Corning, Wayland, Irwin, Prattsburg. So far it's been, this was six businesses. I have not included Curtis project into this. Obviously it's a huge project. It's going to skew these numbers quite substantially. So we are looking for another 200,000 from the county, 200,000 from the IDA, seed for another hopefully 2 years. Eventually, the goal is with revolving loan funds, they get large enough that they can reseed themselves over time. It's still a little bit of a baby. We expect another 10 to 14 commercial properties to be rehabilitated within the next 24 months. I said maybe an extra 1.5 million leverage. It's obviously with Curtis is going to be substantially higher than that. And then another 8 to 12,000 square feet turned into productive use again. A lot of these places that we are hearing from and helping have been vacant for a number of years. Folks certainly do go to commercial lending. However, commercial lending cannot cover the bulk of leasehold improvements, especially when you get into some of these old buildings, you find, oh, the asbestos is there or there's other issues. And so they need to leverage lower interest loan funds because these projects can go on for a long time. Anyone who's ever renovated their house or a business knows you run into timeline delays. And again, that increases, well, it limits the amount of revenue that you can bring in quickly to pay off the loan that you did get from the bank. So these funds have been really helpful for that. They're only doing interest only for the first year at 3%. So it helps them ease in, get their project done. And then half of that is forgiven once we have the certificate of occupancy and do a tour. Are there any questions that I can ask? I could go on and talk about it all day.
Scott.
Why are you looking at me?
Well, you sent that note last night, so
so Jack sent out that presentation. That was very helpful, very informative. I guess my question is if your group looks at it on the longer term, let's say 5 years, if this thing is supposed to be a revolving fund, it can't replenish itself if you're forgiving $15,000 on each loan. So you need more replenishments from the two participating groups, I guess. And my question to Jack is, what is that going forward on an annual basis that we are basically signing up for?
Sure. So in theory, we could just lend less. We could do fewer loans per year if we had it revolved, because it still will be the $15,000 over the course of 5 years per loan. I don't have projected outcomes for that for 5 to 10 years, so I'd have to look into that. We'd probably have to go for another round of replenishment and then look at in 2 years and then look at where we go from there. There are other avenues that we can explore. Since coming in 7 months ago, there's Appalachian Community Capital that we can tap into. We could also look at if that's something that could also replenish this. So it also buys us a little time to look at what other funding is out there and how do we keep this going. It's very popular. I would not want to ever see this program go away. So we can look at alternative ways to seed it.
Does REDEC also do a similar program with Chemung County?
Not yet. But if Chemung County is listening and would like to, they can contact us. So right now it's just Steuben County.
And our $200,000 comes from the Economic Development Fund or where?
You could do that. That has in the neighborhood of $1 million, $1.2 million. I put on the spot, I would probably recommend unassigned fund balance. Just again, from a cash perspective this year, you're healthy. And that leaves the Economic Development Fund, you know, not overly funded. I think at some point, you know, especially if you do this and then in a couple of years, you're going to have to kick back money in the economic development fund. So my recommendation would be unassigned fund balance if you're comfortable with that.
So we haven't budgeted for this.
Correct.
Okay.
Hilda has a question.
Oh, Hilda.
So in Corning, we have a and we've done it for years, and it's truly a revolving loan program. Maybe we need to rename this program a little differently because it's going to be a while before it's self-sustaining.
Do you mean rename this program specifically the Spen County Revolving Loan Fund?
Yeah, because maybe it's not really a revolving loan program.
It's revolving slowly, incrementally. Like revitalization fund. I don't know that we actually put revolving in there.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. And as a UDAC board member, we would love to have access to the City of Corning Loan Fund to be able to
help. Well, that's another meeting.
Yes. Plant that seed as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
You'll regret that, Jamie.
Any more questions?
If you're interested in that, we'd need a motion.
Okay. Okay. And my question is, where are most of these projects? Are they in the city areas, Corning, Hornell?
They're all over right now. They are. Let me pull to that page. So the ones that have been funded are in Corning, Bath, Prattsburg, Wayland, and Irwin. And then we are also seeing requests from every area within Steuben County that are kind of pending. We're just waiting for their applications. So far, one of each area.
Pardon me?
We haven't had a repeat in each area quite yet. We also just did Hammondsport as well.
How does a small business learn about it?
Well, the IDA has been great at helping get that word out. REDEC is going through a rebranding next year and redoing website. And we also just hired a business advisor that's also able to provide support to these businesses as well throughout the life of their loan. And in that rebranding and getting our social media, we'll be getting out there a lot more next year as well. And we'll also attending events.
I'd also say the efforts that we're going to be taking in partnership with the IDA in terms of, you know, the public facing communications as a result of the small business roundtables that you folks have had, I'd say this would be pretty prominent in that.
This has been a great tool for the IDA because, you know, Scott, as you know, being on board, you know, our direct benefits don't necessarily lend themselves to these sort of smaller projects and downtowns. Yeah. They just don't make sense. And so when we get businesses calling us and these smaller developments calling us, in the past, we've referred them to REDEC and looked at traditional lending, but now we have another tool that we've been able to really focus in on these smaller downtown communities and have an impact, because we didn't get into detail about what the money can be used for, but it has to go directly to improvements to the facilities in downtown. So it's not working capital, it's not machinery and equipment, it has to go into the buildings and it has to.
Lindsay's been active in our roundtables.
Push the information out for our listserv, we have all the towns and villages on there. It says that they hear that meeting, they can.
Yes. Yeah, I would also think, because I mean, I was a small business person, I went and got commercial loans. So I would think that the lenders, if they're aware of it, would also point their clients there.
Yes, they do. And we're going to start having meetings with lenders as well as part of REDEC strategy and kind of rebrand refresh, going out to lenders. And that will be part of our package that we say is this is also an option, especially if they don't necessarily need gap financing, or maybe it's a smaller project they can come to this.
Any more questions? May I have a motion?
Make a motion.
Second.
Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Carries.
And unassigned fund balance was okay with everyone?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lindsay.
I wanted to just say something about a thank you to Jamie. It was through Jamie that we are able to contact HB Hood for our November 21st. I keep reminding people our inter-county meeting, and it was through Jamie's influence that I got it.
Heard of this?
Don't forget your gifts.
Before.
You'd be so tired of hearing about this, but
it says, "Don't forget to bring gifts."
Oh yeah, I got the gifts.
Do you want me there? Mike Crouch from HB Hood emailed me last night and asked if I was coming, and I said, "I don't know if I'm."
You're invited. Sorry, I have sent so many emails out.
You have to bring a gift if you come.
You got to bring.
You might win. Oh, birthday. Oh, you are definitely invited, and I know that probably the best thing you could do on your birthday is
bring a bag of chips. Hilda will have dip there.
No, I'm giving the chips. I'm doing the chips. But thank you.
Jamie? You all done?
All done.
Thank you very much. New business.
Yes, we have a draft memorializing resolution for your consideration. We were made aware of this by Senator O'Mara. He sent it over our way and asked if the county would be interested in supporting essentially an opt-out provision to the CLCPA. It's legislation that has been introduced in the state by Senator Galvin. So putting it on your table for discussion.
I'll make more.